death thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Do feel very much in need of your prayers this afternoon as I stand before you. I have thoroughly enjoyed the meeting thus far. Feel the Lord has certainly been in it, and sweet, sweet prayer that's been offered. And I believe each of you are praying in your hearts right now for me, and I just ask you to continue to do that. My thoughts this morning have been surrounding the book of Ephesians and the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, so I feel led this afternoon to continue to look at that from not necessarily a continuation from where we were this morning. I had my thoughts surrounding the verses I'm going to try to speak on this morning, but the Lord led me to the verses that preceded that. And this afternoon, we'll follow the leadership of the Lord. I'd like to look at those verses that are in towards the middle of the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. I reckon I better start reading there, because if I start reading in the beginning, we probably may end up in the beginning too. So we'll read here and then see how the Lord leads us. So I'm going to read beginning at verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 1. And by the grace of God, we'd like to read together down through about verse 14 of Ephesians 1, verses 11 through 14. And may the Lord bless us with what we stand in need of. That's certainly my prayer. Ephesians 1, verses 11 through 14. Here we have the writings of the Apostle Paul, as he wrote by inspiration of God to the brethren which were at Ephesus, as well as to the faithful in Christ Jesus. And in verse 11 he says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." The "in whom" is, of course, we know who that's talking about. In whom is in Jesus Christ. Every blessing we have in this world comes through and by Jesus Christ. Everything we have after this life is over that's of the Lord, that awaits God's little children, is because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Jesus Christ is not just one way, he's the only way. He's the way. He's not just a source of life. He's the only source of life. When we preach the truth, we don't preach Jesus and others, or Jesus and someone else, or Jesus and other prophets. We preach Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. And if I would share with you anything other than that, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever, then I'm not truly preaching the gospel. I'm not teaching you what's in God's word. And this verse says, "In whom," that is in Christ also, "we have obtained an inheritance." So the "also" says that there is something that awaits us after we leave this world. We have many blessings already in this world that we have right now. The blessings of life today that you and I are enjoying, none of us have merited that or earned that or deserved that. We certainly haven't deserved what we're having in the church, where we have the fellowship and spiritual things in this world. We really don't deserve the natural blessing God lays on us every day, even the health that we have. Sometimes it's not what we would wish it to be, but if it were not for the grace of God, it wouldn't be as good as it is. And so everything that you received in your life, both natural and spiritual in this world, that's good and right, coming down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. And it's in him that we have that. And then also, not only in this time world, if we have hope in Christ only in this life, then we still are of all men most miserable. There is something that's a promise that's awaiting God's children, that every single one of God's children will receive without the loss of one, no matter what, because of the work of God. And as a minister of the gospel, I am just thankful and delighted to be able to share that truth with God's children. Those that understand that without the Lord I wouldn't have anything must understand you have what you have, not because you deserved it or earned it, but because of His grace. When God's children get the idea that I can earn or merit something from God, they get away from trusting in the Lord and they start trusting in themselves. Over in the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, if I can find that very quickly, I'll call your attention to Jeremiah in chapter 17. The Bible speaks of those that trust in man and those that trust in God, and the difference between trusting in man and trusting in God. And that's in Jeremiah 17. And I want you to get these two pictures in your mind because they're very clear pictures. And it's even good if you want to just get on the computer at all, if you don't know something, you can always Google it. They say Google it, that means you put it in your search engine and it'll pop up things. Sometimes when I put in the search engine and I want to see something, then I go ahead and put pictures, or I think it says images, and you click on images and it'll bring up just a whole lot of images. Well, I encourage you to do this when you get home. Sometimes you can't pay attention to everything that's on Google because it's an information highway, but it's misinformation on that highway as much as good information. You can get as much bad as you can get good. Can I say to you, the best thing you got is the Bible. And use the Bible, and then when you see something that you've gotten online, you can try it by the Bible, and if it fits the Bible, then you know it's good, and when it doesn't fit the Bible, then you know it's false. By the way, that's how you try preachers too. Just because a man stands before you and he's got on a suit and tie, or doesn't have on one, or a collar, or whatever he has, don't just assume that what he's going to say is the truth. Even if he's reading God's Word, don't just assume that it's going to be the truth. You try what he says by the Word of God, and when it fits the Bible, you hold on to it, and when it doesn't fit the Bible, you let it go. And what we want to remember is we're to trust the Lord and not trust man. He says in these verses, verse 5 of Jeremiah 17, he says, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, that's really what's important today. Not what I say or you say or what I think or you think. It's what does the Lord say? And that's what you're here for. You didn't come here today to hear what my political views were. You didn't come here today to hear what I thought about this or thought about that or my opinion about this or that. The only thing you come to hear is what a minister of God who's called of God can give you, and that is a clear understanding of God's Word. As the Lord blesses him with liberty to understand, then he's enabled to preach. And in the preaching of the gospel, the righteousness of God, which he talks about, is shared from faith to faith. And you're able to hear what things are written in God's Word and understand them a little better. That's what a preacher does. By the way, he's just a servant. That's why you don't worship him. And you certainly don't trust in him like you trust in the Lord. I don't say we don't have some confidence in our ministers. We shouldn't just disregard everything they say. We should understand, though, that they, like us, are just men and prone. They have a flesh to deal with, and there's that warfare that goes on in them just like it goes in on all of us. And so sometimes if they get in the flesh, they're just as apt to be wrong. And if they get in the flesh, they're going to be wrong. Let's put it that way. So he said to us, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man." Now notice this. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man. It didn't say cursed is the man that trusteth in man. It says cursed be the man that trusteth in man. So the cursing comes as you trust in man. It isn't there just because you were cursed. Now some people like to say the Lord blessed his people and saved them, and that's true. But then they like to charge God with being at fault for man getting in the mess he got into. Man didn't get in the mess because God messed up. Man is in trouble because man messed up. When Adam sinned against God in the Garden of Eden, he wasn't following God in obedience in doing that. He was disobedient to God, and because of his disobedience, he got in trouble. And we as God's children today are not predestined to walk in bad things, but we are blessed of God to walk in the goodness and the mercy of God. And when we mess up, we can't say, God, it's your fault. We have to know it's our fault. And if we have a curse today, it isn't because God placed that curse upon us. It's because we have walked in a way to merit and earn that curse. And cursed be the man, it says, that trusteth in man. Now, that's a big thing, because we can do that so easily and not realize we're doing it. Sometimes we even might feel like we're trusting in the Lord, when in reality we're really trusting in man. You see, if you trust in God, but you depend on man to get you to God, you're really not trusting in God, you're trusting in man. Whether that man be me or one of the brethren at the church or a sister or your wife or your husband, we have to understand the only one who can truly connect me with God and the only one who can bring me into a good relationship with God, the only one who is the man that cannot fail is the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we trust in Him, we're really not trusting in man, we're trusting in God, because He is verily God. So the Bible says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. And notice this, and he makes flesh his arm. Now, when he says makes flesh his arm, he's talking about thinking your power is in your own ability. Am I making flesh my arm when I think if I just study enough this week, then on Sunday I can come and preach real good? That's making flesh my arm. Now, does that mean I ought not study? Oh, I'm supposed to study. And I'm supposed to look at God's Word. And you're supposed to study, and you're supposed to look at God's Word. But don't think for a minute, because you and I did this, God's going to absolutely bless us with an understanding. He will bless us in doing it, but He doesn't bless us for doing it. And there's a big difference. When you think He's blessing you because you've done something, your trust is in who? It's in yourself and what you've done. When you realize He's blessed me as I'm doing it, then who am I trusting in? I'm trusting in the Lord, and I'm trusting in His promises. As He said, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And when I trust in that verse, I'm not trusting in my seeking, I'm trusting in His promise that as I seek Him, He will reward me. Now, the reward doesn't come out of merit, the reward comes by grace. The reward doesn't come because you deserve it, it comes because Jesus paid for it and bought it. And it's given to you because you were given that in Christ. Even before the foundation of the world, God chose you, and now in time, He works those things in your life. So as we come here today, we don't want to trust in man. We don't want to trust in the preacher. We don't want to trust in everybody else. Sometimes we'll get the idea, well, if Brother Gary doesn't show up, what are we going to do? Well, I say do the same thing. Listen, it isn't about Brother Gary being here. It isn't about Brother so-and-so being here. It isn't about who else showed up. You know, sometimes we come to church worrying about who isn't there when we ought to be coming thankful someone's there, and mainly that the Lord has promised where two or three are gathered in His presence, He will be there in our midst, which makes a crowd, doesn't it? If the Lord's with you, you got all you need. We are not to trust in man. We look at our little church and we get thinking, well, how are we going to continue to meet here? Well, I don't know how the church has stood as long as it has. And I know this, if man had had anything to do with it, it would have not been here in this world anyway. Here's how we know the church will be here. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And He wasn't talking about Peter, because He didn't tell us to trust in Peter or some man that represents Peter or in anyone like that. We're to trust in the Lord. He says, upon this rock, thou art Peter. There are the little stone, and upon this rock, I believe almost you can see Him pointing to Himself, upon, thou art Peter, but upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that rock is the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Peter said, and they asked him, Peter, who am I? Who do men say that I am? And he said, men have all kinds of answers for that. And he gave them those answers. And he says, but who do you say that I am, Peter? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said this, flesh and blood, hear this, you're not trusting in flesh and blood. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but how? But my Father, which is in heaven. So what do I need to know today? I need to know the things that are in God's book. How do I have God's book? He gave it to me. How can I trust in God's book? Because He gave it to me. How can I trust that it's just the way He gave it? Because the God who gave it kept it. How can I trust that His church is the place I ought to be? Because He said, this is my church, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. How can I know that it'll be here again until Jesus comes? Because He said the church would be here until He comes. He will not leave Himself without a witness. What I am to do, as long as I am in this world, is to trust Him and to lean upon Him. And how can you trust Him? You have to have faith. And where do you get faith from? It's a gift of God. And that happens in the new birth. When you're born of His Spirit, you have the principle of faith put in you. That means you have the ability to believe put in you. And then you are to exercise that belief in trusting and depending upon Him. But don't let your trust go in man. So many people are trusting that they're a child of God because of something they did in their life, and that gives them the right to be a child of God through something that they do. Many well-intentioned men, many zealous men, many men who I believe are absolutely sincere, but they're sincerely wrong, are standing before people today and telling them, if you'll do this or you'll do that, you can be sure that you'll go to heaven. Listen, you're going to heaven is sure, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done. And I would far rather trust in Him and what He's done than in me and what I've done. How about you? And here's the reality. If you're trusting in man, there's a curse upon you, because God said it was. Now, some might say, well, that's talking about a dead alien sinner. I beg to differ. This is talking about a little child of grace who ceases to trust in God and is trusted in man. And He tells us that right here in these verses. He says, He maketh flesh His arm. That means I'm going to depend on myself to get it done. Have you ever thought, well, I can just change that habit? I got some bad habits. I had a fellow tell me how many times you have to do something in order to make it a habit. Well, son, I think the world says you got to do something 22 times before it ever becomes a habit. I don't know about that. Seems like to me some of my habits I had just the first time I did it. I know some people can take a drug one time and it becomes a habit. It didn't have to be 22 times. One time does it. I know some people can eat a piece of chocolate pie and it becomes a habit, and you don't have to eat 22 pieces, it's just there. Some people don't have that same propensity, but they have propensity for something. And the something they have it for is sin. We are all prone to wander. We are all prone to sin. Some sins don't bother me near as much as other sins. Some sins I'm more led to than other things. But the devil knows what my weaknesses are, and the demons that are at his command and at his direction attack me in those places. How about you? You could throw all the drugs on the table, I'd walk away from them. But if you throw a piece of chocolate pie or a chocolate chip cookie, Gary's in trouble, because I'm going after them. And I've learned that I just cannot will myself to do better. You ever just try to, I'm going to just do better. I just look in the mirror and say, I'm going to do better. You know what that is? That's trusting in man rather than trusting in God. Even the statement, I will do better, is about man rather than God. You understand that? Sometimes we think about church. I'm just going to do better. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to do this. I'm going to set down a list for me. And rather than following God's law, we make our own laws. And we think, if I'll just follow these laws, and the devil will let you bite into that, because he knows what we will do. Just like I say, I'll never eat another chocolate chip cookie, at least until I see the next one. I can say that. But then when it comes before me and I get in the test, there's only one who can keep me on the right track. Now, I don't want to throw my hands up in defeat today and say there is no help for us, because there is a help. I'm just saying to you, there's no help in you for you. There's no help in me for you. There's no help in some man in a little booth for you. There's no help in this world for you except in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who loved you so much that He sent the Son, and God the Son, who came and loved you so much that He died for you, and God the Holy Spirit, who's with you right now. And with Him with you right now, as you operate in that Spirit of God, which is in you, by the way, how do you know anything about the things of God? It's the Spirit of God that's within you. How did it get in me? You didn't ask for it. It came in you in the new birth, and now you have the Spirit of God that's leading you all the time in the right way. And you might say, well, then why do I mess up? Because you also have the Spirit of the flesh that leads you in the wrong way. It's just like you got a little fellow on this shoulder telling you the bad way to go, and a little fellow on this shoulder telling you the good way to go, except this is not a little fellow, that is, but this isn't. And what you do is then as the reborn, as a born again little child of God, not reborn, newborn. We don't get reborn. What Nicodemus talked about was a rebirth. Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? That's not what Jesus said. He didn't say you're going to be reborn. He says you're going to be newborn, born from above. And that is something that's really never happened before. It's the second birth. It's that which takes place when a man has the Spirit of God implanted into his heart. His hard and stony heart is circumcised, and then he becomes a new creature, and he starts thinking different, acting different, and behaving different, and may not even have a clue why he's doing that. As a matter of fact, a little child of grace knows he's a sinner and just doesn't know what to do about it. And the gospel doesn't have to tell him he's a sinner, though it does. He already knows that. But the gospel points him to the only help he can have for the sin problem that's in his life. And I'm telling you today, you and I have an answer for overeating. We have an answer for every sin that we ever face. Even the one that so easily besets us, which I say to you is the sin of unbelief. Unbelief is really the source of all sin in a sense. Because when I eat that cookie, I'm really just not believing God when He said be temperate in all things. And you know what that means? I can eat the cookie. I just can't eat the box of cookies. I can eat the one. I can eat the half of one. I may not be able to eat much more than that, but I can eat that, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's good. I can receive that with thanksgiving. It's not a sin. It's just like a little glass of wine. That in and of itself is not a sin. But if you have difficulty with that, then leave the whole glass of wine alone. If you have difficulty with the cookie, then leave the whole cookie alone. If you have a difficulty with anything you do in your life, then rather than being wrapped up in that and brought in captivity of that, then you may have to say, like the rich man had to give all his money away. You know why? But not Zacchaeus didn't have to give all his money away. Zacchaeus, you know why? Because Zacchaeus was a rich man. But when Zacchaeus got dealt with by the Lord, he said, I want to give it away. That showed he didn't love it. The rich man loved his money. He loved it so much it got in his way of loving God. And listen, above God, we're to love God above what? Everything. Everything. And what can I make an idol of? Anything. I can make it of my wife. A wife can make it of her husband. I can make it of my family. I can make it of my job. Is it wrong to have a wife or a husband or a job? No, but it's wrong to make an idol of those. It's not wrong to have a chocolate chip cookie, but it's wrong to make it the source. If I get up every day just so I can eat and fill my appetite in the flesh, what am I trusting in? Is it the Lord or am I trusting in man? And the answer comes very clearly. Sometimes I don't like the answer. You know, I don't mind them when they're up there talking to people about over drinking and you know, doing this and doing that and hitting other folks. But when they come up and they start talking about, you know, eating too much and those kinds of things, well, you know, some people say they stopped preaching and gone to meddling. You know, hey, he stopped preaching now and gone to meddling. No. All preaching should have some impact on you. And if you don't feel like you've been meddled with by the preaching, then I believe you either missed the preaching or the preacher hasn't preached. Because there's going to be in every sermon some things, hopefully, prayerfully, that will cause us to say, oh, unless we're perfect, I've met too many, as a matter of fact, I've not met any perfect people that don't need some correction in our lives. And the more we see those flaws, we say, oh Lord, thank Thee for that correction, for that direction. And we need to hear it how often? All the time, over and over. That's why when you come to church, you say, well, he preached on that last Sunday. I remember one time a congregation saying, our preacher's just preaching on the same thing every Sunday. And when they asked the preacher about it, he said, well, if you do what I've been telling you, I wouldn't have to keep preaching it over and over. But until you do what I'm telling you, I'm going to have to tell you again and again and again. And if you don't do what the Lord is commanding you to do, don't think He's not going to remind you over and over again. And be thankful that He is reminding you, because I tell you, if you ever get cut off and He doesn't remind you anymore, this world, though there's no hell for God's children after this life, they're going to be with the Lord. There is definitely a hell for God's children in this life that we can get into, to where we'll be just like Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, I hated life. And God's little children, when they get in rebellion against God, open rebellion, you get to a place where I can't even see. And that's what it's going to say right here in these verses. By the way, we're going to stick right here, the Lord willing. He said, thus saith the Lord that maketh man, that trusteth in man, that maketh flesh his arm, and get this, whose heart departeth from the Lord. So that tells you can't serve both God and man. Today you can't be, that's why the doctrines of this world are so dangerous for God's little children. Let me say that again. The doctrines of this world are very dangerous for God's children. A doctrine that sets up man as his own Savior is dangerous for God's children. A doctrine that lays out anything you have to do to gain eternal life is dangerous for God's children to hear. A doctrine that says your salvation is in your decision rather than His work is dangerous for God's children. The reason is it causes God's children to start trusting in themselves and what they've done for the Lord. Today, God forbid, as a minister of the gospel, I would stand before you and tell you to trust in yourself for any blessing from God. I want and desire the best I know how to tell you, you cannot trust in yourself, because in yourself you have no help. But you can trust in the Lord, and in Him you have all the help that you ever need. And if I do that, and I'm teaching you that, I'm trusting more in you than I am the Lord and what He did for you, and I have a curse. And that curse leaves me in a very barren place. I don't lose my life, but I sure look dead. I don't lose my spiritual life, but you can't see any evidence of it. He says, who maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departed from the Lord. So either I'm going to trust man today or trust the Lord. And you can say that every day you get up in the morning. You get to go in the world. Well, am I going to trust man or am I going to trust the Lord? If you trust man, here's what you do. You worry about everything. And then you try to take your arm, your little weak, feeble arm, and fix everything. And you try to make right everything you see that's wrong. And everything you come at, rather than looking to the Lord, you look into yourself, even if you're doing something. And you say, well, sometimes I need to use my physical strength. Let me ask you a question. Where does physical strength come from? And a man can think he's strong. And the strong man is told in the Bible not to trust in his strength. Let not the strong man trust, the man that's strong, trust in his strength. He said, don't trust in the strength of a horse. And I've learned a long time ago, when they say horsepower to talk about an engine, they're talking about how much strength a horse has. And I'm telling you, compared to man, you don't want to get in tug of war with a horse on the other end, because you're going to lose that battle. And a horse in battle in the Old Testament times was a great advantage. If you were going into battle and you had a horse, you were much better off than if you had foot soldiers. The horse had much more strength. But the Bible says, don't you trust in the strength of the horse. Don't let the man that goes into battle trust in how many he's got on his side. Because sometimes men will think there's a whole bunch of us and just a few of them. Old Baptist, we'd be in trouble today if that's what we believed, didn't it? Because we look out in this world and we'll see houses filled with people. And congregations that are meeting. And I believe even God's children in those houses. I'm not saying they're not God's children. I'm saying though they may be sincere, what they're teaching when they teach, and you judge that by what they say, when they tell those people in that congregation that it's up to you to make your decision whether you want to live with Him in heaven or whether you die and go to hell, and that's in your hand, I ask you this question. Are they telling you that you're trusting in Him or are you to trust in yourself? What's that telling you? Well, if there's something I can do to undo everything Jesus did, it sounds like Jesus needs my help rather than I need His help. And that's just not the truth. You see, that's not what the Bible teaches. What the Bible teaches is that God's children were helpless and they were in danger of hell, going to hell. They were cursed in and of themselves, and yet God came where they were in a waste howling wilderness, and He lifted them out of the miry clay, and He put their feet upon a rock, which is Jesus Christ, and they put a new song in their mouth, even praises unto God, that's the work of Almighty God. And I'm saying to you today, don't ever trust in what you've done for the Lord. Though you ought to be doing things for the Lord every day in your life, don't ever trust in that. Even your ability to do that, don't look to yourself for that. Look to God, and God will supply you both the will and the do of His good pleasure. And then my trust is in the Lord. And as a promise, it comes in trusting in the Lord. And there's two pictures here. He says, His depart departs from the Lord. Now, that if my heart departs from the Lord, that means I must have been with the Lord. Isn't that true? If I depart from Martinsburg Church, can I be in front row and depart from Martinsburg? No. In order to depart from Martinsburg, I got to be at Martinsburg. In order to leave somewhere, I got to be there. I can't depart from somewhere I haven't been. So this brother who's trusting in man, who now has a heart that's departing from the Lord. You know what that means? That means at one time he was trusting in the Lord. But now he who is trusting in the Lord has gotten to the place where his heart is departed from the Lord because he's trusting in man. And you and I go through that battle probably 100 times a day. Where, okay, I'm trusting in myself now, so I need, flesh has gotten in there, get him down, put him down, keep him down. Put him aside, don't listen to him, and let me trust in the Lord. So I come back to the Lord. I draw nigh to the Lord. As a little child of grace, as a regenerated soul, you have the ability to depart from the Lord, and you have the ability to draw nigh to the Lord. The part of you that leads you to depart is the flesh. The part that leads you to embrace Him is the Spirit. If you don't have that warfare going in you, you're not a little child of God. Some people say, well, once you're a little child of God, you're always going to follow Him. Well, that's to say the flesh got changed, and it did not get changed. There's a day coming when it's going to be changed. And that's in Ephesians. I won't get to it today, I don't think. But that's in Ephesians where he will get the fullness of the possession that he's going to redeem that. That is our body. One day you and I are going to be body, soul, and spirit just like Christ. And we will be completely of one mind, no warfare. We're going to be on track like him. What a day that'll be. We won't have any more troubles. No more concerns. But this little brother has problems because he has made he trusted in man. He's making flesh his arm, and his heart's departing from the Lord. Now, what is the picture of him? And if you Google something at home, do this: Google in Heath. Just put Heath. It's a bush. And you've seen them. You've seen those western scenes of a desert, and you see this bush roll by, this little like tumbleweed go rolling by. That's a heath. That's what a heath is. Now, when it's living, it's not rolling around. It's still connected to the ground. It's alive, but it looks dead. It's the deadest looking bush you'd ever see in this world. When the Lord picks a picture, He picks it good. And when next time you see a heath, remind yourself, that's what I am when I'm trusting in me. That's what I am when I'm trusting in the preacher. That's what I am when I'm trusting in the best of men. That's what I am when I'm trusting in the government. That's what I am when I'm trusting in man to take care of me. That's what I am when I'm trusting in my family, as dear and as near as they are to me. God can give you all those good things. He can give you a husband that's worthy of your trust and dependence. And I'm not saying don't trust in him to some degree, but don't make him God, because he's not God, and he will soon fall and show you that. Or a wife will do the exact same thing. Isn't that true? There's only one we can truly trust in who will never fail you, and that's the Lord. And He'll surround your life with men worthy of trust. As they trust in the Lord, they become worthy of trust. Outside of that, they are not. They're just heath bushes. I am just, and it's really not bush, but I like to say bush because it kind of reminds you. Heath, when I think of heath, well, I'll tell you what I think of. Y'all know what I think of when I think of heath, right? I think of a heath bar. I'm connected to food. When I saw heath, I think, well, oh boy, a heath bar, it don't sound too bad. This is not a heath bar. It's a heath. It's a plant. It's a scrub bush. It's the deadest looking thing you've ever seen. And when you Google it online, they show you the pictures there. You can just see, that's a heath. And now, he shall be like the heath. Now, he didn't say he was a heath. He says he looks like the heath. And the Bible uses natural pictures over and over again to give you spiritual truth. He's showing you what a little child of God looks like in the plant world. In the animal world, he's a sheep, right? God's children are sheep. And so they have characteristics of sheep. In the plant world, one of God's children, or the man of the world even. The man of the world, even except the man of the world doesn't have any life at all. The heath does have life. So it really pictures a little child of God more than others. A little child of God that is alive, but he looks dead. You see, when something's dead, it could be a dogwood, it could be an apple tree, it could be any kind of plant. When it's dead, it withers up and dies. I mean, it looks bad after a while. The heath looks bad when it's living. The heath doesn't ever. You wouldn't plant in your yard heath bushes in order to have people think your house really looks nice. You wouldn't. They're not a form. They're not like plants or ornamental plants. They're bushes that look like they belong in the desert because that's where they're designed to live. God in His design made them for a reason. They're made to live in the desert. They're out there in the desert. Now, God didn't make men that way. Men made themselves that way. God's using this picture to show us that. That's why He said, "Cursed be the man." And down here in a minute, He says, "Blessed, not be the man, but is the man." And there's a difference between is and be. So it's getting bigger. I love it when it gets bigger. He says he's like the heath in the desert. Now, where does the heath live? In the desert. Does that sound like a good place for us to live as God's little children? Now, I'm talking about not a natural. A natural desert may not be. I'll tell you, the thing that makes it worse place than living in a natural desert is to live in a spiritual desert. This is a spiritual desert. That is where you can't see when the rain comes because you can't see. There's only a little rain and that's very seldom. It's only enough to support life. And do you know this? God will never let one of His children die. They will always get something, even in the desert, to sustain their life. But it's not a good place to live. God will not lose His children though they're out in the world. He won't lose them. But it's not a good place for them to live. It's not where He has designed them to live. They're not made to live that way. God's children should not look like a heath. They should look like a tree planted by the water. And the design here is for you to see the picture of what God's children look like when they trust in man. So that you and I would be encouraged by the Word of God not to be that. He says this. He says, "They shall not see when good cometh." Now get that. Did it say there was no good coming their way? That isn't what it said. It didn't say they get good. And it didn't say they never have any good. It didn't say because they don't trust in God, no good comes to them. It says when God's goodness comes to them, they can't see it. And when we're trusting in man, you know what we do real quick? We complain. We murmur. All we can see is the sickness rather than the other. All we can see is what's wrong rather than what's right. All we can see is what isn't there rather than what is there. I could look at this congregation today and count the empty places that could have people in them. Or I could be thankful for the 1, 2, 3, whatever's gathered here and be thankful to the Lord. I'm telling you, the heath sees the empty benches. The tree that's planted by the water that's trusted in God sees the few that have gathered and thanks God. He sees the kingdom of God, which, by the way, is not a big place. He said, "Fear not big flock, fear not little flock, for it's the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom of God." And that's what we're enjoying today. I'll tell you this, it doesn't look like a desert to me today. I see a blooming place. I see a place blooming with the fruit of Almighty God. I see the planting of the Lord. I see the work of His hand. I see hope for the future. I see a church rather than a church dying. I see a church maybe at the very beginnings of who knows what, or what it might be. That God, though we've been here a while and had a serious decline, my hope is not to be in man, but it's in God. And God has worked. There were only 8 souls in the ark, right? And I'm telling you, He repopulated the earth with those 8 souls. And there was a whole crowd. You didn't want to be on the crowd in the crowd when the floods came. You didn't want to be with the crowd because they were underwater. The few were in the ark. And that ark was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. All throughout the whole Old Testament, you see His picture over and over again. He says, "For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit." That means live. in the parched places in the wilderness. Now, the parched places are those places where you have no rain. Now, even in anywhere in the wilderness, it's not a good place to be. How much more is it to be in the parched places in the wilderness? Somebody said, well, you live in Front Royal. Where do you live? I live in the parched places of Front Royal. Well, that would be the places that get the least amount of rain. That would be bad enough. But what about if you were in the parched places in the wilderness? In other words, you're in the wilderness. He says the parched places in the wilderness. The wilderness doesn't, anywhere in the wilderness, you don't get a lot of rain. But in the parched places of the wilderness, you get very, very little rain. And a man who's trusting in man, spiritually speaking, has very little spiritual showers in his life. Because he's cursed. Because he's not utilizing the faith God had given him. His heart has departed from the Lord because he's trusted in man and making flesh his arm. And he says, in a salt land and not inhabited. That means you're by yourself. Now, you could live in New York City with all the crowd. Can you be alone in a crowd? Those who've been in a crowd know you can be alone in a crowd. Sometimes when you're in a crowd, you can feel the most alone. And you don't have to just be alone by yourself to be alone. You can be alone in a crowd. And when you're trusted in man, you become very, very seriously alone. Because you think your help is in you. And now the man of the world, hear me, the man of the world won't understand anything that I've said today because his thinking doesn't go that way. His thinking is, I've got to depend on me because there's nobody else to trust in. And if I don't do it for myself, nobody else can do it. And if anybody can do it, I can do it better than anyone else. That's what man thinks in his pride and in his arrogance. But he's simply wrong. But he can't see that until he's arrested by God's grace. So if you can see what I'm talking about today, that's evidence I'm talking to you. And that's what you're looking for, right? Evidence that I'm one of His and that this book applies to me and it does apply to you. And He's helping you here so that your life isn't about... Isn't that a sad life to live, like a heath bush where you can't see when good cometh, and in every storm that comes you don't feel like you have any hope, and you're alive but you feel like you almost wish you were dead because there doesn't seem to be any hope. And how quickly can you and I get there when we get our eyes off the Lord? That's why coming to church is important. Because what they do is tell you again who you're to trust in and tell you not to trust in this. Now, does that give you life? No, but it gives you information. It's part of taking His yoke upon you and learning of Him. And as you do that, you grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. And you learn to trust Him. Trust Him, trust Him, only trust Him. Help me learn to do that more and more. And then he comes to verse 7 and he said, blessed is the man. And now he didn't say blessed be the man. That would mean he got blessed because he did something. But the man is already blessed. Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord. If you can trust in the Lord today, I'm going to tell you, you're a blessed character. I will say, if you can trust in the Lord today, He knew you before the very foundation of the world, from the Scripture. I can say, if you trust in the Lord today, the Lord chose you in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. Not because you were good, because He looked down upon the earth and He saw there was none good, no, not one. Not me, not you, not anybody. But He saw you and He loved you and He took you out of the mess you were in and the life you would have lived, and He worked the work of grace in your heart, and now He has done that, you have the obligation to trust in Him because you have the ability to do that. Without Him giving you that ability, you couldn't trust in Him. For a man to come to God, he must believe that He is, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, and faith is a gift of God. And he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He said, blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. So do we have hope here today at Little Martinsburg Church that this church might remain here? Yes, I sure do. Because my hope isn't in what I'm looking at in the congregation. My hope is in what the Lord can do. And I know the Lord, listen, the material we have today is a whole lot more material than what He had before He created the earth. How much material did He have? Brother Terry built a little house for me before he could do. And the little house, it's in the backyard. It's not one. I wanted him to build it nice enough that if my wife kicked me out, I'd have a place I could go. But he didn't give me quite that much room. But it's a little shed that holds my stuff. You know, almost. And he built that house. But before he could build it, we had to go to the Lowe's and pick up some material, because without the material, he couldn't build a house. Can I say to you, when God built this world, He didn't go get some material. He didn't go down to Lowe's and buy the material. He created it out of nothing and made it out of nothing. So how much could God take care of this church? If He made this world and its beauty out of nothing, could He not take care of the church? And much more, can He not take care of me? If He feeds the sparrows and not one of them fall without Him, and He clothes the lilies and they're arrayed better than Solomon in all His glory, could God not take care of me and you? How dare I would trust in me and my ability when I am to trust in God and His power and His might when mine is so weak and His is so great? And when I trust in me, I'm like a heath bush. I have no help. But when I trust in the Lord, He's my hope. And I'm telling you today, you and I have hope. We trust in the Lord, you can see it. When you don't trust in the Lord, you can't. When you trust in the Lord, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians, you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You have that assurance that things are going to be okay. You may not know how. You may not know when. You may not know. You just know they are. Because He said every day He's going to be with us. His mercy and goodness will be with us every day. And when we die, we get that inheritance that's coming. That this little life, we get a little taste of it, a little earnest of it right now. But when we die, we're going to get the full package. We're going to get all of it without anything. And we'll be with Him. And oh, how wonderful that's going to be. So are we hopeless today? Absolutely not. Our redemption really is closer today than it's ever been. We're closer to going home than we've ever been. I'm closer to heaven today than I was yesterday. I'm closer to being with my Lord. And you say, well, I'm getting weaker. Yes, I know about that getting weaker. I just take account of my body when I get up in the morning and say, what's working? You know, what's hurting? And like the old man said, what ain't hurting ain't working. You know, in other words, you just feel like, what, you know, lost some feeling in my feet, so my balance isn't as good as it ought to be. You take medication to help one thing and it hurts something else, and you keep trying to keep all the pieces together, and you realize you're falling apart. And when you get the feeling like you're doing real good, some little boy will walk up to you and call you an old man, and just there's all of your hopes about that, because it doesn't matter how much we try to prop this old body up, it's going to fall down. There is enough Grecian formula in the world to keep you looking young. You're going to get older. Isn't that true? You're going to get older. And I'm telling you, as sure as we do, this old body falls apart. Can I say to you though, today the Lord is the same yesterday and today and forever. And He's always been the strength that we need. And that's why the Apostle Paul said it this way, when I am weak, that means I'm aware of my weakness. Then I'm strong. Because I'm no longer trusting in me and I'm not a heath. I am trusting in the Lord and I'm another plant. He says, for He shall be as a tree planted by the waters. I want you to get the two pictures. Think of a little bush dried up in the desert that lives there. That's a heath. And then think of a tree planted by the waters. Now when it don't rain, if a tree's planted by the waters, how does that affect a tree when it don't rain? Not at all. Unless the waters completely dry up. Now I want to tell you, these waters that He's planted by is out of that river of life that flows out of the throne of God, that is a river of His grace that flows all the time. Jesus, the fountain of living waters, He's the source of that fountain. He is that river of grace that feeds that makes glad the city of God and feeds us every day. That's where all your blessings come from every single day, from that river. And when we're trusting in the Lord, we're like a tree planted by that river. And that tree brings forth its fruit when the weather is good, when the weather is bad, when it's raining, when it doesn't, because it's drawing its nutrients not from its own self, but from the Lord. And therefore it brings forth and beareth much fruit. For He shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth, get this, spreadeth out her roots. Now that tree, you've seen a tree that's planted by the water, it doesn't have shallow roots, it gets down in there and gets that root. And it has a whole lot of roots because it goes over there and gets that out of that water, and then it looks healthy. It looks healthy in the summer, it looks healthy in the winter. It's a healthy tree. And that is a little child of God feeding on the Word of God, who's trusting in the God of heaven and feeding on God's Word. And she shall not get this tree. It's a she, by the way. The heath bush is not a he. It says, but shall not inhabit. Let me see. It doesn't give it a gender at all. Yeah, it's a he. the heath bushes. He shall be like the tree, the heath in the desert, and shall not see. The bride of Christ is a she. We are the bride of Christ. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are those that are trusting in God as our husband. We don't run our own course, do our own thing. We are submissive to our husband. We are to listen to him. And as we do that, we are that bride that is like a tree planted by the water. And then when the troubles of this world come, we run into our husband and he's our help. Listen, your natural husband might not be a help to you. He might be unfaithful and run off and do anything. Men are prone to do all kinds of things. But the husband that we all have in the Lord Jesus Christ, as his bride, we are to submit unto him and listen to what he tells us to do, and to be a faithful wife to him in the sense that we listen. He loved us not, and he clothed his bride. He didn't pick a pretty bride. He didn't go pick the prettiest one. He saw his bride and saw her in her trouble, and then he made her beautiful. He had the power to do that. And he dressed her up, and we're to wear his apparel. Oh, I'm way over time. Sorry. Okay. He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. Now notice the difference. The heat can't see when good comes, and the tree planted by the waters can't see when the heat comes. Now, does the heat come to the tree planted by the waters? Yes, but it doesn't feel it. When the troubles come, it doesn't feel it. The good comes to both of these, but the one who's planted, trusting in the Lord, don't see the heat, sees only the good. And the one, the little child of God who is trusting in man, can't see the good, he can only see the heat. All he can feel is the heat. Where would we be today? Should we not be trusting in the Lord? And he's given us that ability. Should we not walk in that? And he shall not, but her leaves shall be green. That means she looks alive. It's good to see God's children when they look alive. When they look like a heath, you can't tell them from the world. They look just like the world. God's children are supposed to look different. Supposed to act different and talk different. It isn't by a lapel pin you put on your shirt sleeve that says, I'm a Christian, that people should know that you're a little child of grace. It should be how your mouth moves and how your hands move and how your heart moves. It's how you live your life. And that's where you preach. The preacher preaches in the pulpit. The congregation preaches as they live. How you live your life. And a little child of God should have her leaf green. And shall not be careful in the year of drought. Now that means full of care in the year of drought. You know what happens to us as God's little children? We get in a little trouble, and the next thing you know, we all shook up. We have something go wrong, we get all shook up. And that's when we're trusting in man. When we're trusting in the Lord, we go like, okay, Lord, here's another problem. You've handled every one of them in the past. I know you'll take care of this one. The worst thing that could happen to me is to die. And if I die, I go home to be with you in heaven. And heaven's better than here, so that doesn't sound so bad. So Lord, take care of me now. And if you're with me every day, who else do I need? What else do I need? And whatever. Men may destroy my body, but the Lord's able to destroy both my body and soul in hell. So I better listen to him. And as I depend upon him, I don't have to fear that. I can just trust in the Lord. And he says, I'm not careful in the year of drought. And now get this. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That means when they get in the storm, doesn't keep the fruit from coming. God's little children sometimes get into trouble and their heart is not as spiritually hungry. They don't have the joy and the peace and the love and the long-suffering and the gentleness and the goodness and the faith. All the fruit of the Spirit is much in their life. And we see they lose their sparkle. They lose their shine. They don't look good. That's why they fall into trusting in man. And what they need is a dose of the gospel that reminds them, you stop trusting in man and trust in the Lord, and he'll put your sparkle back. I've been to see some sick folks at times that I thought, I don't know how I'm going to cheer them up. And they cheered me up because they had not lost their sparkle because they were trusting in the Lord. You've been there, haven't you? Been there? Well, remember, whenever you see that, it isn't the tree that made itself strong. It's the river which the tree is getting the sustenance from that makes it strong. And that's the river that flows out of heaven. And that connection, again, is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. And God bless you.
I read the text anyway.